Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It's the last one of the week because it's a public holiday tomorrow, our national day. What are you doing tomorrow? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Later on in the show, we're putting across some time to help you maybe plan your St. Patrick's Day. We're going to be speaking to some organisers of some events to try and maybe, hopefully, if it gives it a wee push. Sure, wouldn't that be time well spent? So we're going to do that. And Dana's going to be joining us. Dana Rosemary Scallon will be joining us as well. She's got a new single out. We're going to hear that and have a chat to Dana as well. Any questions for Dana? 086 60 25,000. We are going to be speaking to Professor Paul Dunlop about that research on the effective concrete block crisis, and that and so much more besides. But what I want to do is give you a quick, this is before the bingo, and I want to get some requests as well, but I want to also give you an opportunity to win two tickets into a very special draw that's being run by St. Mary's GEA in Convoy. They're giving away €50,000 tomorrow. Can you imagine? 50k on St. Patrick's Day. Wouldn't that be nice? We have a couple of tickets to give away. Is the draw being made for that tomorrow? It is. Yeah, tomorrow evening. All right, so we have a couple of tickets to give away today. We have a simple question for you to answer, and you could win them. But also, you can go along to their social media, their website, and you can buy them yourself to be involved in that if you so wish and support the development of St. Mary's GEA in Convoy. Here are the details of today's competition and how you can get your hands on two of those tickets for free on the 9 till noon show.
On this week's show, with thanks to our sponsors, St. Mary's GEA Convoy Development Draw, we're giving you the chance to win two tickets to their 50k for €50 draw. To be in with a chance of winning this prize, all you have to do is answer the following question. What's the capital of France? Is it A, Paris, or B, Convoy? Text or WhatsApp your answer, name and address to 086 60 25,000.
Can we give the tickets to someone who says Convoy? I would just, you know, the question is, no, we can't do that. The question is, what's the capital of France? Is it A, Paris, or B, Convoy? Anyone, I'd almost give away a mug for anyone who texts in the wrong answer. But anyway, listen, right answers only, please. 086 60 25,000. Okay, let's read some of your comments. Good morning. Once again, the people of Manor Cunningham are waking up to having no water. There was no warning from Ishka Aaron that the water would be off, and there is no mention of it on their website of what time the water will be restored. It is a disgrace that this is happening. Now, let me see if I can get any information on that for you. There was a few outages last evening as well. I think some areas of Letterkenny were also affected. Let's see if they have anything up here on the situation in Manor Cunningham. No, as part of the National Leakage Reduction Programme, mains repair work may affect supply to Ahi Vanan near Rathmullen and Sarans from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's the 22nd of March. And they were currently investigating reports of a supply disruption in Letterkenny. More information to follow. That information never followed. And that's it. No reference to Manor Cunningham at all. So I presume some of you out there logged it, didn't you? Melville Community College simply cannot be delayed We are ready to dig after then Minister McHugh announced that full funding was approved in April 2014. It's taken this long to get through three stages of planning. This is torture for all others at stage 3-2. Another, if you want to remove the drink culture, we need to stop having high-profile people coming here and downing a pint of Guinness. Any bets President Biden will come here and we'll have him in a pub in Donegal pouring a drink or drinking a pint? Good morning, Greg. The same situation with the new health centre in Dunfanaghy. Thanks, Charlie. Indeed, Charlie, we covered the Dunfanaghy delays there as well. That's my concern, that a lot of these projects that are effectively shovel-ready are not going to go ahead. We inquired with the HSE about Dunfanaghy, I believe. I'm not sure if we got a response. I'll double-check that for you. A caller says the retrofit grants are out of reach for most people due to the high cost people have to pay before the grants are paid out. I need to do multiple jobs on the house to get the grant. Grant should be given for any work that will improve the rating of the property, not subject to reaching a minimum rating with this specific improvement. People are more likely to do the work one job at a time when they can afford it. You could need to spend 50k to get 25k grant for a major retrofit. That's why I've never even gone beyond the opening paragraph. Most people do not have the resources at hand to front load or to contribute to retrofit. So the grants are for people that can probably afford to do the work themselves. It's just a little bit of a break for them. Do you know, if you can't afford to pump your cavity right at the moment, or to insulate your roof, if you can't afford it at the moment, well, then retrofit grants are of no use to you. If you have a certain amount of money and you say, you know what, we'd like a nice cozy home, and you probably could afford to do it yourself, then you can get the grant. How does that make sense? Red tape, incompetence and inefficiency are to blame. I presume that's as it relates to delays in continuing school projects. Mayville Community College in planning process since 2015, so don't blame it all on inflation. Good point. Another councillor, Frank McBrearty, has been telling everyone that Mica was not the main cause of crumbling homes. He's been the only councillor asking people to give its proper name, deleterious materials. Morning, Greg. In regards to Mica, I remember there was a legal representative on Highland a while back who was representing Mica homeowners and looking to represent more. Did that case ever progress? It's a work in progress. Obviously, the wheels of justice move incredibly slowly, but it is progressing and thousands of people are involved in that. Once again, Joe McHugh talking out of both sides of his mouth. Is Joe going to downsize his house? Well, I never heard Joe saying anything sort of pro-Dublin, pro-government in that interview. And that's not a defence. It's just I thought it was quite frank in some of what he had to say. Good morning, Greg. Mr. Coveney took a flight in May 2021 for 3 days on the government jet to China. It cost nearly 200K. How is this allowed to happen? This is an abuse of the people's money. Hypocrites, they all are. No rules for them. We are an open economy. Yes, we do need to send our political representatives to bat for Ireland. We get an audience with the most powerful nation in the world. What other small country has that? I accept that, right? I get that, and we hear that every year. And I'll read the comment in full, right? But where's the dividend at this point? We've been doing this for years and years and years and years. And yes, there are people listening to this program that are very, very comfortable. There are an awful lot of people that are struggling to make ends meet, can't afford to pay rent, can't afford to pay fuel, can't afford a present for the children, can't afford a holiday, can't afford to repair the car, can't afford to fix the washing machine, which isn't working at the moment, can't afford to fix stuff that needs to be fixed, right? At what point are all of these trips going to benefit those people? Thousands upon thousands of people living in poverty listening to this program today and right around the country. We can't have these conversations in a vacuum or ignorant to the reality. We have a disastrous health service at the moment. We have a housing crisis that's only getting worse, and so many other challenges facing this country. I find it hard to get excited that we have a meeting with Joe Biden and we can give him a bowl of shamrock. I find it hard to get excited that at some point down the line, a trip to New Zealand or Singapore or Dubai or Canada or New Zealand, or who is that going to benefit? Is it maybe? It could be big farmers. I heard this morning that farmers are buying up land so they don't have to reduce their herds, and that some of them now, by the way, and I'm talking about the big guys, some of them can buy a 1 million euro pocket of land, parcel of land, and have it half paid for in cash in a year. That was a claim made this morning. So who is all of these trips benefiting? Is it average Joe? Clearly not yet. So when is this dividend from all of these flights going to happen for the majority of people out there? I'll read this text in full out of respect for this listener who's good enough to text in, and we appreciate it. And you will probably agree with them, okay? We're an open economy. Yes, we do need to send our political representatives to bat for Ireland. We get an audience with the most powerful nation in the world. What other small country has that? The planes will fly anyway. And what does it matter whether you sit in the front or back? We stop the traffic in New York. No other country does that. Stop the begrudgery and celebrate our national day. Morning, Greg. So tired of listening to these people justifying our politicians flying all over the world, giving themselves pay rises, plus all the expenses they give themselves. They've no idea how ordinary people are struggling to live day to day. Your panel don't seem to have our problems from what they're saying. Thank you. Another. Good morning, Greg. Can anyone honestly say that these politicians actually believe what they are telling us about the climate issues? They're just talking heads for Europe. They just read off the same script. Look at the actions, not what they say. Remember what they did during COVID. They didn't believe. And look, we were, and we were, fear was being used for all of us. I don't think that anyone's denying that, to stop us doing stuff You know, we made incredible sacrifices. And at the same time, people were going to parties in governments, you know, Golfgate and so have what have you, and doing stuff that we weren't able to do. Again, did they know something? That's what that listener's asking. And now we're being told that, you know, you can't burn turf, you can't sell it. You know, you can't buy a certain type of coal, although that coal is dirty and bad for people with bad with respiratory illnesses and what have you. We're paying a carbon tax on home heating oil to discourage us from using it. That's it, the motivation. We're paying carbon taxes on our petrol and diesel. We're being told to switch electric, which has its advantages, but they haven't put the infrastructure in properly to allow that to happen. We're being told we must do that, this, that, and the other. We're being told that Eamon Ryan cycles to work. But the reality is that they're all away on Kraft, which are the biggest polluters of all aeroplanes. So you can't then come back and expect us to forget that and then expect us to comfortably adhere to your rules that you don't live by. You don't live by the rules, so why should we? That's what people are feeling. And make a counter-argument. We're being told to do one thing, but they're not doing that as well. And that is going to upset and anger people, and it doesn't make any sense. Now, a major research paper published this week claims that mica is not the primary cause of the failure of defective concrete blocks in Donegal. Four properties in Inishowen, built between 2001 and 2004, were investigated as part of the research. Now, microstructural and chemical analysis combined with thermodynamic modelling was carried out on those four homes affected by defective blocks in Donegal. It was established that apart from mica, the aggregate containing iron sulfides, mainly in the form of pyrrhotite. The research paper, The Mica Crisis in Donegal, Ireland, A Case of Internal Sulfite Attack, states that comparison of the results of this investigation with the data collected by chartered engineers in almost 100 damaged homes show that the four investigated cases are representative of the situation in Donegal. Now, we're joined on the programme by Professor Paul Dunlop, who's a homeowner, of course, and one of the publishers of The Mica Crisis in Donegal, Ireland, A Case of Internal Sulfite Attack. And that is posed as a question, within which I think that question's answered in great detail, Paul.
Morning, Greg. Thanks for having us on to talk about the research.
Now,
so did you have a quick...
Sorry, I beg your pardon, Paul. There's a slight delay. That's okay. Is there anything in this that has surprised you, in the findings?
Well, not really in the paper. I mean, this is the research that we first presented at the European Union last March. I had been working with Andreas in the background since January 2022, sampling, and he was doing the analysis in the concrete. So it was presented there at the European Union. Then it was presented at international conferences in Germany, and also then we presented that work at the conference in Letterkenny in November. So we also, if you recall, in the pre-legislative scrutiny day, Mike Action Group asked us to come along. And we presented that in the Oireachtas as well to the Housing Department Committee, that there's a real problem with pyrrhotite and that it's releasing sulfur, causing internal sulfate attack. Now, the difference between us talking about it in conferences and talking about it on the radio, for example, is that this is a completely different system. This is the science now being basically submitted into the international community to be blind, peer-reviewed by our peers in the field, and they have agreed that this research is robust enough to be published. Mm-hmm. And the leading scientific journal in building and construction, cement and concrete research. And to give you an idea of the quality of this journal, only 17% of the papers that are that are submitted to that journal for review are accepted in the end. I mean, so this has went through the rigors of an international peer review process. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's any other...
Right, Paul, sorry, the line dropped there, Paul. I beg your pardon. What I wanted to ask you, in the most simplest terms you can, and we understand it's incredibly complex, what then have we found is happening in the process of the cracks appearing, the plaster falling off, you know, you're trying to take a bore sample and it's just dust, and we've seen the images of blocks being, you know, turned to dust by hand. So what scientifically then is happening to cause that?
Well, the paper explains that well. There are three phases to this process called internal sulfate attack. The sulfur is needed for this process is coming from pyrrhotite When pyrotite comes into contact with oxygen and moisture, it rusts and it releases sulfur. And from the samples that we took, the samples had sulfur in it that were 4 to 8 times higher than allowable under the regulations EN 12620. That's the European standard. Now, the first phase of this process is that the sulfuric acid starts using up minerals in the concrete and it creates a silt called entringite. And what entringite can do, it swells in volume. So that explains the cracking phenomenon. Okay, so we've often heard of people going out and filling in the cracks in their home 1 year only to find them opening within a few months or the following year. That's because the concrete is expanding. As the process continues, the second phase kicks in, and what happens is that another mineral called thomasite is produced. And what thomasite does is thomasite actually replaces the cement paste that's gluing everything together. So as that proceeds through time, what you end up is that you end up with concrete that can you can crush in your hands. So this process, this internal sulfate attack process, can explain very clearly what we see happening in homes in Donegal. And the analysis that we've done has clearly found that this pyrotite mineral is clearly present, and where it has clearly shown that sulfur is far too high. It's breaching European regulations. So it's a serious problem. Now, we looked at 4 homes, but we also looked at reports from Thomas Campbell Group. We had almost 100 homes that had found different amounts of pyrotite in the concrete that was being found by independent laboratories. We looked at the cracks in those reports, and we're saying that basically the cracking and the scale of the cracking and the phenomenon linked to the pyrotite in those homes is basically representative of the situation in Donegal. The paper also looked at the temperature regimes in Donegal since the last cool period in 2010, the last big cool period, which was blamed in the 2017 government report as being the cause that mica absorbs water and is freeze thaw. You know, and if you take a look at the data in the paper, I think there's around 50 or 51 days that were below 0 degrees in the last, since 2011. And the temperatures aren't cold enough to induce freeze-thaw action in concrete. And the pattern of cracking that we find is also not compatible with freeze-thaw.
And a lot of so that kind of was, a lot of that was kind of, as you read through it, it made a lot of sense in terms of, you know, cracking appearing behind concrete, whether or not the cold could actually penetrate the plaster, let me put it like that, or cracks coming from the roof down and the colder temperatures not really affecting maybe that high up, little things like that there. I suppose on reflection, I kind of went with what you kind of told, if you know what I mean. On reflection, it makes sense that the freeze-thaw was not the major contributor to all of this.
I think a lot of people in Donegal who are caught up in this, and myself included, have a lived experience of what we see unfolding in our eyes. Like, we're not far removed from the scenario. And for myself, it never added up to me because my home has been continually deteriorating through the spring and through the summertime. I have seen new cracks in my home appear in the summertime as well, with no frost. I mean, in the last 10 years, it hardly snowed in Donegal. I mean, this year was a bit colder than the previous few years. It just didn't add up to me. I mean, additionally, too, we've also been told that mica absorbs water. I mean, mica does not absorb water. It's a non-swellable silicate mineral. I mean, it's still not good to have mica in concrete at excessive levels. It's not. I mean, it's well known that it reduces the compressive strength of concrete. But the main issue that it has is during the mixing phase, because the surface area of the mineral does attract water to it, and therefore the mix design changes because it mixes the cement not mix well, and you've got to add more water, and then by adding more water you can weaken the concrete. So like, it's not good to have excessive levels, but it does not explain what we see in the walls in Donegal. Pyrotite and internal sulfate attack does.
So go ahead, Paul.
Well. Look, the important thing is that we've tested that hypothesis in the international community. We've written what we thought. We've presented the evidence, and it's been accepted by blind peer review and in the top international scientific journal. So, you know, we did this to try and be helpful, to bring some intelligence to the table, and to explain to people what pyrotite does and the risk that it has in concrete. That's what we're trying to do, and we hope now that the policymakers will listen to it.
Right, just a couple of simple questions, Paul. What does this mean about how the blocks were constructed and what level of blame or responsibility may lie there in terms of, you know, adherence to regulations or what have you? This is still, this has been caused with the manufacturing process and certain guidelines not being followed. Is that, would that be your position?
Well, that's what the analysis shows. It's not what my position is. You know, we all we did is we went down and sampled concrete and analysed what was there. We didn't go in with any preconceived notions. Now, we found pyrotite present in the samples, and we measured the total sulfur, the total sulfur content as sulfides, i.e., the minerals in the aggregate, and they are all in breach of what's allowable under EN 12620. Mm. So there's been a breach of that regulation, and it's clear. So something's went wrong in the manufacturing process of the blocks that we sampled.
And also, what does this mean then in terms of going forward, only repairing outer leaves, or certainly as well, not investigating in more detail, or actually just replacing foundations?
Well, I mean, if the same aggregate is used for concrete foundations, then there is a risk of internal sulfate attack. That's clear. But it's unknown. We just don't know because we haven't had a chance to look at that. We only looked at the concrete blocks, but that absolutely needs to be researched. It is a clear present risk, and we know that internationally from places like Connecticut and Quebec in Canada, where high-grade, strong concrete with pyrotite in it can completely turn into mush. And we also know that from dams in Switzerland as well, too. It's well known. So concrete foundations must be tested. You at least investigate what's happening. And if there is a risk there, then they need to be removed. And if there's no risk, then that's fine. I think people can live with that. Mm. But the idea of just doing nothing is not right.
All right. And then very finally, go ahead, Paul.
Well, in terms of the remediation options, you know, between the outer leaf and the inner leaf, I mean, clearly, if you look at the paper, you say that the outer leaf is most at risk because moisture and oxygen is the problem. But there is a risk in the internal leaf as well, too. There is a process called carbonation as well, too, where concrete can take up CO2. And if that can be allowed to happen over a long period of time, it can reduce the risk of the internal leaf cracking and falling apart. But we do know from many people, homeowner reports and engineers, that many people's homes internally are also cracking. So it may not be the case that the carbonation process has probably happened, but we need more research as well to find that out.
Right, and very finally, it was drilled into us for years that we must follow the science. What do you believe that this research means in terms of the remediation scheme and how that's operated? Do we have to tear that up? Do we have to tinker with it? What's the story?
Well, to date, this is the first international peer review journal that has looked at this phenomenon, and it has been accepted after peer review. So this must be taken on board by the policymakers who are reviewing IS 465, by the Department of Housing who are looking at remediation options. I mean, they've been crying out for science. We've heard it in the Dáil in different responses back from questions and different media interviews. Well, there is the first piece of science that shows that. So let's see if they're good to their word now. There's a piece of science. They need to take it on board. And if they don't like it, they need to say very clearly why a journal that has been published in such a prestigious journal is not good enough for them.
All right, Paul, listen, thanks for your time this morning. I do appreciate you. Professor Paul Dunlop there, thanks for working through the slight delay in the line with us. He is an affected homeowner and one of the publishers of The Microcrisis, in inverted commas, in Donegal, Ireland, a case of internal sulfate attacks. Okay, thank you very much for that. All right, you're welcome back to the programme. We welcome onto it now Tony Canavan, CEO of the Celta Group. Good morning, Tony. Thanks for taking the call.
Good morning, Greg.
I suppose before we talk about what people should try and avoid over the weekend and to keep ourselves safe, I suppose, and to keep pressure off the hospitals, emergency departments continue to be extremely busy. In fact, I think Letterkenny University Hospital had record numbers of people sick enough to need a bed but not able to access one as they struggled to find spaces and packages and people to discharge people well enough to be discharged out of the hospital. So we're not in the depth of winter as such. I'm not saying there aren't similar challenges. So why are we still? Why are we seeing mid-March record situations at Letterkenny University Hospital as an example?
Yeah, it's very difficult, I suppose, to pinpoint any one exact reason. So in general, I think it's reasonable to assume that there are a number of things going on in the background. If we look across all of last year, Letterkenny University Hospital had more attendances at the emergency department than they had in any previous year. So there was record levels of attendance, and they reflect an upward trend, an increase in the number of people attending every single day. And then if we look specifically at this week in Letterkenny, we can see again that the numbers are particularly high. You referred to a record number. We had 195 attendances at Letterkenny University Hospital on Tuesday this week. So that's the highest ever attendance on a single day. And then out of that, of course, a number of those people, usually somewhere around 25% of those attendances, those people will require admission into a hospital bed. So we are seeing then, as a result of that, an increase in the numbers of patients awaiting admission on trolleys. And there's a number of things going on in the background. We certainly do have the impact of respiratory illnesses within the population. We still have some impact, but not a very significant impact of COVID-19 within the hospital and within the community as well. And I think what we're seeing as well is an ongoing demand for hospital care after COVID has ended. You know, so there are still significant numbers of people attending now that maybe had deferred care throughout the COVID period.
I may have slightly conflated figures. I wasn't very clear, so I appreciate you so politely correcting that because it is important to get it correct. Tony, how big of an issue is getting people out of the hospital? You know, step-down care, families able to take someone home, maybe spaces in other care settings like nursing homes, for an example. Is that a particular challenge?
It is certainly, and I think that's a really good question and a good way to look at this problem. This isn't just an issue of Letterkenny University Hospital or indeed any hospital being under pressure. This is a question of the health system overall being under pressure. So if you take your GP, most GPs will tell you about the difficulties they have and the numbers of patients that are attending and trying to make sure that they're seen in a timely way, but also all of the services that are available within the community, including long-term care, our home supports, very important health services, but they are also under pressure for a variety of reasons. Some of that is to do with the availability of people, you know, so being able to recruit staff to work in long-term care facilities or being able to recruit staff to work as home support workers. Those are putting considerable pressure on the broader health services, and that then feeds back into a problem that we see in the hospitals.
The problem is also, though, the same pressures that you talk of are kind of the solutions to ease pressure on the ED. It is a particularly busy weekend, the St. Patrick's Day long weekend. Obviously, we want people to stay safe and avoid accidental injury as much as is possible. People will still get sick. The alternatives are those under pressure GPs, perhaps not so much over the weekend. It's going to be out of hours services now, Doc, in our case. Also under pressure. They're probably going to have a record weekend for all we know, but they're the solutions to try and avoid people making unnecessary trips to the ED, and I suppose therein lies the complexity of this problem.
Absolutely. Now, what I would say is that while there is a growing pressure on our health services generally, and including in the hospital, we have also been investing quite significantly over the last couple of years, and again this year, in both the hospital services and the broader community-based health services, and that is helping the overall situation. It isn't solving the problem, but it is helping to ease the pressure somewhat. You're absolutely right that we need to have as much support in the community so that patients can be discharged efficiently. You know, so when they're ready to go home or when they're ready to progress on to the next phase of their care, it's important that that happens as quickly as possible. And so we work very closely, the hospital services and the community services and the GP services throughout Donegal and across the Northwest work very closely together to try and make sure that happens as best we can.
Can you see in the future, and if so, how far into the future, whereby... Look, I presume acute hospitals are designed to operate close to full capacity all of the time, really, because otherwise it'd be a waste of resources. But when do you imagine a time whereby we won't see this level of pressure, that we won't be firefighting all these individual problems. You can imagine, and you know, I'm sure, Tony, what it must be like within that hospital, trying to join everything up to get someone out who can get out and to free that space to get someone in. You know, the not panic, sorry, that's the wrong word, but you know, the difficulty that presents, but at the same time trying to offer world-class care to people as well. So do you see a time in the future, and if so, when, back to the start of the question, when we won't be talking about this level of excess pressure on our health service?
I suppose the short answer to that is I do. I put a lot of faith in the 10-year strategy that has been designed for our health services, which is called Sláinte Care. So that was launched in 2017. Its implementation probably got stalled for a couple of years during COVID and is getting back on track now, and it's got a number of years yet to run. But the basic premise of Sláinte Care is that we try and provide the correct care for people in the correct location by the right people. And what we know is that there are a lot of people today at Letterkenny University Hospital and every hospital across the country. We know that there are people in there that could receive appropriate care in a different setting, as assuming that the resources were in place to look after them. We know, for example, that general practitioners, if we have them properly resourced, can look after a broader range of the needs of the population of County Donegal. And we know that providing additional support, such as therapy supports and homes care supports and long-term care supports in the community, all will be part of that picture. We have a growing population and we have an ageing population, so it's not a fixed target. You know, as the years go by, you know, the task gets more stringent. But I would say that I am optimistic that if we continue on the path that we are currently of implementing Sláinte Care, that over the coming years we will continue to see things improve, and that is the long term solution for
us. All right. Finally, Tony, what is your message to the public as we head into this long weekend?
Well, I suppose what I would like to say is that, you know, for people in Donegal, you know, the health services are your health services. And so our ask is that you help us to make sure that those health services are available to the people that need them most this weekend. And the way to do that is to, you know, if you have a genuine emergency, please come into an emergency department and come into the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital, where you will receive proper care and support. However, if you don't have a genuine emergency, please consider the alternatives. And there are lots of them, including your general practitioner, perhaps attending or getting some advice from your local pharmacist, or even engaging with the HSE website under theweather.ie. And we would ask people to consider all of those alternatives if they don't have a genuine emergency, in the interest of protecting their own health services.
Okay, have a good weekend, Tony. Thanks for your time. Take care.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay. Now, there are a couple of other issues health-related that, in terms of the health centre in Dunfanaghy and what have you, at the short notice we gave Tony to come on and talk about the weekend, that he didn't have answers to that. But I believe we've had a commitment to get answers to those questions. So it's not that they weren't asked for any particular reason other than we'll get the answers for you, and Tony and his team can go off and get them for us so we can get concrete answers for you. A bit of breaking news from the world of showbiz. RTE has announced that broadcaster Ryan Tuberty is to step down from The Late Late Show at the end of the season. What do you think about that? Lots of people may not be too upset, others might. Let us know what you think. Who do you think should replace Ryan Tuberty? He's going at the end of this season. Answers on a postcard to 086 60 25,000. Who would you like to see step into those shoes? There haven't been too many, haven't there? Jerry Gay Byrne, Jerry Ryan was in it? No, he didn't. Pat Kenny was, certainly. Pat Kenny, and then Ryan. Is that it? So there was all this talk about Jerry Ryan having a go. I don't think he ever did. There was Gay Byrne, then Pat Kenny, then Ryan Tuberty. Is that right? Was there anyone in between? Right, who... He dissents, right, okay. Who would you like to see replace Ryan Tuberty? He's gone from The Late Late Show. Now, just a couple of requests here. Happy birthday to James Barrett and Dunlow from all the Portnoy gang. Greg, can you give a mention to our coffee morning and bric-a-brac in Glenvar Old School on St. Patrick's Day tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock onwards? It's in aid of small animal welfare. Your support would be greatly appreciated. So get along to the Glenvar Old School on St. Patrick's Day morning, before the parades perhaps, for a coffee morning. Starts at 11. Hi, could you wish, please wish, Francis Carlin, Castlefin, a happy 60th birthday. Lots of love from grandsons Jaden, Ben and Noah. Just to let you know as well, by the way, that the Wellness Cafe is on this morning in Stranorlar, in the Hatter Cafe in Stranorlar, of course, runs until 12 noon. So if you are in the Ballybuffet Stranorlar area or passing through, call into the Hatter's Cafe in Stranorlar until 12 noon. The Wellness Cafe is hosting its event in there. You can just go in and have a cup of coffee and see what's going on. Right, some of you already suggesting who could replace Ryan Tubridy. Sarah McInerney would be great at the job. She actually has a personality. I've seen a couple of interviews or heard interviews that she's done. How would she do in sort of, it's like 90%, it's 90% light and fluffy, isn't it? Or is it? I don't know. I don't watch it. A caller says it would be nice to see someone outside RTE get the job. Stop it being a closed shop. I doubt that very much. Rick O'Shea says, a listener, what about Dahi to replace Ryan Tubridy? I don't know. I don't dislike Dahi, but it'd be very cheesy, wouldn't it? I recommend a couple of people take the hand saying I should do it. All right, good stuff. He's leaving because Tommy Turner's show's more popular. He'll be the next host. Okay. I'd like to see Tommy Turner replace Tubridy. He'd shake things up, won't miss Tubridy and his fake laugh and same friends and sorry guests. I don't think you're going to see a change of guests, by the way. He doesn't book them. There's a team that booked them. So don't replace Ryan Tubridy. Just scrap the Late Late's, another suggestion. Not bad. What about a show like Marty Morrison or Marty Morrison? He's what about his variety show that he's taking to Letterkenny at the end of the month? Something like that might be more fun.